Good morning. How many of you got the email about today's service? Okay. Well, if you didn't, we're really not doing the communication card thing today, but we apologize if you didn't. Just make sure that we have a way to accurately read your email address, and we will put you on the list. And you might make note of that. Put me on the email list for changes, service changes, that kind of thing, but not today. Today's going to be different. Totally different. This is just going to be a prayer and worship gathering, and you'll see as it goes, it unfolds. So let's all stand right now. We're going to start out with a song. Jesus, not only to save, but reminding you that that word not only means to save, it means to heal, it means to deliver, to set free, to redeem, to bring soundness and wholeness. And we're going to talk about that. Well, if you grew up in a Catholic church or you have experience with a Catholic church, it may have a little bit of feel of that today because you're going to be up and down a lot, okay? But that's okay, all right? It'll give you a little exercise. So right now you can be seated, but in just a few minutes, like I said, we're going to be doing a lot of up and down, and that's fine. But I want to begin this prayer time. We're going to be praying together, but I want to preface this and give us a point of focus. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't in any way divert from that, but if it puts us all moving in the same direction, you can harmonize within that direction in prayer and praise, right? Okay, so that being said, I want to start out with some basic things and just let you know that, remind you that it's a challenge for those of us who know the Lord, know who he is and what he's like, what his character is like. It's a challenge for us to make clear to people that God is neither the cause of these events, this virus, nor did he just passively stand aside to let it happen. To suggest that God causes these things leads many people to understand his nature, what God is like. Instead of seeing God as a causatively active or even passively permissive in situations like this, listen, we as God's people, we must see that God, when asked, will move in redemptively. Amen. Because he is redemptive. But it's also up to us to move into situations through the power and the prompting of the Holy Spirit and in faith minister God's redemptive grace and mercy. We as God's people must take our place in interceding to see God's redemptive grace and power applied to situations like what we're in. And so I want to begin to say that your praying matters. When we come together and pray, it counts. It does make a difference. Where you stand on the issue of coronavirus, COVID-19, all the weird names they want to call it. It's true that swine flu in 2009 and 2010, in just about 8 months, did you know there were 60 million people that were infected with swine flu? 300,000 people were hospitalized, and 17,000 people died. We're nowhere near that, and I'm not trying to minimize what's out there. Listen to me. I want you to hear my heart. I don't care if it's big or little. This is not God. This is the work of the enemy. This is Satan at work. He's the one who comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So I don't care if you just got the sniffles today. We want to rebuke that. We want to deal with that decisively. That's what we're here to do. And as I've said in years past, you know, God can save by many, or God can save by few. And we, right here in little old Eudora, Kansas, Douglas County, right smack dab in the middle of the United States, from out here, there can be a line drawn that begins to permeate and goes to the coast. Because listen, just as surely as a virus doesn't care if you're Democrat or Republican, you know what? Listen to me. God's grace and mercy is available whether you're Democrat or Republican. Wherever you fall on the spectrum, God is not saying, oh, well, you're not my political persuasion. He's not doing that. All who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved, will be ministered to. His grace is available. And so that's what we're going to do. But I want us to begin our prayer time recognizing that our praying matters. And, you know, it is certainly true that God doesn't care if you fold your little hands and bow your head and close your eyes and pray, whether you're kneeling, whether you're standing. The focus is not on posture, but I want you to know that there are times when posture and how even physically the posture you take and the stance you take can make a difference. It can speak something. And I'm going to have us do something just by way of exercise here in a moment, but I want you to read where it comes from. Because listen, in times of national emergency, whether it's the United States of America, whether it's old European countries, whether it was ancient Israel, when there was a national emergency, the king, whoever, would call for a day of prayer, fasting, whatever, and people would congregate together, and they would all, in unison, lift up their voice to God and pray together. This is what we call united prayer or corporate prayer. And because I don't know about you, when I was a little kid, when I was a real little kid, I was raised in a Baptist church. And how many of you know most churches, when you say, okay, let's all stand, we're going to pray, what does everybody do? They bow their heads, close their eyes, and shut their mouth, and then somebody else does the praying, and we just stand there. And that's not the way corporate prayer is always supposed to happen. Let me just show you Acts chapter 4. This is the time when Peter and John went, and the lame man at the gate called Beautiful They spoke to him. They didn't pray for the guy. This guy's never walked a day in his life. But they said, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Grabbed him by the hand, lift him, and he walks. He's healed. Well, the religious people didn't like that. They get called before the religious tribunal and, you know, get in trouble for healing, helping somebody. Go figure. Acts chapter 4, verse 23. On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people. Aren't you glad that we at Family Faith, we have our own people? Yes. That we have each other? Yeah, it's important in times of trouble that you run to God. You run to God's people. They went back to their own people and reported all the chief priests and elders had said to them. And when they, that is the people gathered together there, when they heard this, they raised their voice. Whoa. They raised their voice together in prayer to God. And they began to pray. I want us to do that right now. Now, this, for some of you, this may feel a little funny because I'm going to ask you in just a moment to stand, and I'm going to give you just a suggestion of something to declare in prayer, and then you don't even have to raise your voice, but in a conversational tone, I want you just to look to heaven and put it in your own words and say it out loud together. Now, here, let me just warn you what's going to happen, because there's people standing by you. You're going to start out and you're going to hear them, and the first thought is, oh, if I can hear them, they can hear me. And then we tend to get a little quiet. But you've got to learn to kind of set aside. Come on, you've been in noisy restaurants and places of business and stuff where there's noise going on. You're talking to somebody. You can push that back just a little bit and carry on a conversation with God, right? Okay? But it'll take a little practice because some of us aren't used to doing it in church. And especially when we've intentionally not invited everybody to come. Okay, I mean, when I shut down breakfast, well, I knew that was it for most of them. No, that's just a little joke. Let's all stand, okay? I want you to pray this aloud. I want you to think about a characteristic of God. Just, you might say something like this: God, you are merciful. You are all powerful. You're the healer. You're the redeemer. Something along those lines. And then a point that you're thankful for. God, I thank you that you watch over me and my family, that no plague will come near my dwelling. Whatever it is, a point of thankfulness. So who God is and what you're thankful for. Are you ready? All right, let's talk to God right now out loud. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you are my Father, that you are a good God, that you are merciful and kind. Lord, that you're ready to save, to heal. And so, Lord, I call upon you, and I'm thankful that you're an ever-present help in time of need for us at Family of Faith and for our nation. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Amen. All right, well, amen. You all right? You all right? Let me finish reading this passage, and then we're going to pray again. It says, this is how they concluded their prayer. Lord, consider their threats and enable us, your people, your servants, to speak your word with great boldness. Why? What did Jesus say? He said, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel. And then what did he say in Mark chapter 16? These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they'll do these things. And so they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord confirming the word with signs and wonders. Miracles happening. Give us boldness to speak your word. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. I want you to understand, they weren't just praying for God to mystically, magically do something out there for those poor people. They were saying, God, enable us. That when we speak your word with great boldness, that you, when we stretch forth our hands, you're stretching forth your hand too. And in your name, people are going to be healed. So here's what I want us to do. I want us to pray again. I just want us to thank the Lord that he does miracles, he heals. And just say, Lord, I'm going to go in your name and speak to the works of Satan and tell them to cease and desist wherever I go, okay? Something along those lines. Lord, I'm here to work that, to speak your word and to see miracles happen as I speak against the works of darkness, all right? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you that you've chosen to use us. You've chosen to use me, Lord, and that wherever I go, because you're the God of miracles, you're the healing God, that, Lord, that you've given me authority in the name of Jesus to speak to the works of Satan and tell them to stop, to cease, desist, to let go, to be gone. And Lord, they have to obey the name of Jesus. Lord, give me boldness. Help me to be bold in proclaiming your word and your will in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
You are here, moving in our midst. I worship you. I worship you. Light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. For you are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper. Light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are here, touching every heart. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, healing every life. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, turning lives around. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, mending every heart. Boldness, his courage.
Who God is, what he's like, so easily distorted. And that's why we need to pray in this situation. You can be seated just for a moment. I'm going to move to this next point of prayer. And I want you to know that as we look at this, we said our time here would be limited this morning, and we want to keep to that. So we're not going to cover everything on the whole spectrum that we could pray about. You know, if we want to be here for 3 or 4 hours, we could certainly do that. But I'm narrowing down. I'm coming down from, let's lift our voice together in corporate prayer. Now we're going to look at a particular point of prayer. It's a common one, but there's a couple of things that I want to bring out of that. And then I want to bring to you the heart, the core, the root of what I want you to take away. But what should we be praying? Well, again, a familiar passage of Scripture. Don't tune out. Stay with me. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Paul says, therefore, I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. All. Everybody. That's where we start praying. We're praying for each other. Our city, our county, our state, our nation, and yes, people around the world who are affected by this. We're also to pray for kings and all who are in authority. What do we pray? That we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. And when we pray this way, understand this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. You don't have to pray if it be thy will. The word says it's his will. This is good in the sight of God, who desires all men to be saved, delivered, healed, set free, so forth, and to come to the knowledge of the truth. So we do. We need, whatever you think of President Trump, he is the man, okay? We're to pray for him. And not just him, but all those surrounding him need a divine anointing of wisdom. Wisdom, knowing what to do and when to do it. Okay? But we also need, how many of you know that it was Douglas County that shut down large gatherings? It's school administrators, KU and so forth, that decided to shut down classes. Okay? Well, there's leadership at those levels too. Well, there's leadership here at Family of Faith, your group leader, your ministry team leader, so forth. We need God's touch upon all those who lead. The local level, the national level, right here at Family of Faith. So I want us to pray for leaders, that those at whatever level, that first of all, that they will not make decisions that impede the gospel. Okay? Now, understand, you don't have to always be at church for the gospel to go forth, because all of us are called to be ambassadors, and ambassadors bring something to others. And so that we'd have freedom, the gospel be free to be proclaimed. So let's stand again, if you wouldn't mind. And if you're tired and whatever, and you don't feel like you have to stand every time I say stand, but those who will, I think postures. We're taking a stand on God's word. That's the point here this morning. So don't let that be a point of shame and condemnation if you're standing. I'm not standing on the word. I'm going to sit here. Okay, well, yeah, plant yourself on God's word. That's all right, too. But let's pray. And whoever, whatever leaders, presidential cabinet, those at the CDC, scientists, doctors working on something to put an end to this that will help it. Listen, God heals. But you know what? I'm not against medicine, because there's some people out there who do not have faith. Paul said there are those who do not have faith. Well, I'm like God. I want them helped too. And so if they will not be helped with faith, bless God, let there come another avenue of help for them, because I want to ultimately stop the works of the enemy. Okay? All right. Let's lift our voice and let's pray together. Father, I thank you for President Trump and Lord, his cabinet, and Lord, for Congress and Senate and the governor and local leaders. Lord, I pray that you would give them wisdom. Lord, that you would be manifest and influence their decisions toward righteousness, that with the gospel have free course to go forth. In other words, the good news that Jesus heals and saves and sets free and makes alive, Lord, and that word will go forth from your people all across the world and in this nation, and that, Lord, that people will receive that good news and they'll believe it and they'll receive Jesus as Savior and healer in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you are made unto us, Jesus, wisdom. And Lord, you help us to be wise in our decisions, in what we do and how we conduct ourselves, to do the right thing at the right time. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Here's the bottom line. This is the core, the foundation that I believe that God gave me to share with you today. Not that the other things weren't, but this is the bedrock. This is what we need to take away and walk out of here with. And that is worship. There are many, many instances in Scripture in times of national disaster, attack, warfare kind of things that God used praise and worship as the avenue to bring about victory. And in that vein, I want to remind you of an incident that happened in ancient Israel. A couple of guys, Dathan and Abiram, led a revolt against the leadership of Moses. And God intervened. And the ground opened up. Moses said, everybody get away from them. Their tents, because they all lived in tents, that's where they were homes. Get away from their homes, get away from their families, back away. And as they did, the ground opened up, swallowed them, and then closed up. And they were gone. The next morning, the book of Numbers tells us that there were people who came and said, Moses, you've killed the people of the Lord. If I'm Moses, I'm saying, I just stood back. God, how can I make the ground open? But anyway, and immediately, you can understand, God got angry in a hurry. Because God did that, and they're blaming Moses, and by extension, God, because Moses being God's representative, God came down and said, stand back, I'm going to wipe out these people. And a plague began. People who were standing there just began dropping. Boom, 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 boom. Hundreds of people who were positioned angrily against Moses and against God. This was not poor, innocent people. These are people that are shaking their fist in God's face. And I can't hit God, so I'm going to hit his leader. Moses and Aaron fall to their faces before God. Moses, he's down this like before God. Aaron's here. He looks over and says, hey, Aaron, go get a censer and fill it full of incense from the altar, and you go out into the middle of the plague. And you know what? Aaron did it. He gets his little censer. He goes to the tabernacle. He takes some incense off the altar. And he runs out into the middle of where people are being infected and instantly dying of this plague that's coming through. And he goes out there, and the incense. Now, I want you to understand what incense represents in Scripture. The incense is a little bit of smoke. It's a fragrance that's going up. It, in its rudimentary form, it represents the worship and the prayer of God's people. The intercession, the prayer of intercession is people, it's a prayer for others. It's a ministry and prayer for the benefit of other people. And so he goes out there, and it says that when he came out into the midst of that boom, 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 and I'm sure he's thinking, okay, I did what you said, I'm acting in faith, and the plague stopped right there. And it says that Aaron was left standing between the living and the dead. And the plague stopped right there. That's why I say earlier, right here, little old Douglas County, us few people meeting here, our prayers matter. Our worship matters. This is why we've been doing the service the way that we've been doing it. Because we are going to worship, because I believe. But listen, it's just not right here. I want you to understand that you, Jesus said, the Father is looking not for worship. The Father is looking for worshipers who will worship him in spirit and in truth. This is not something, worship should not be something that you only do at church. When you leave this place, I want you to say to yourself, I am a priest of the Most High. This is what we're going to pray in just a moment. We'll get to that. I am a priest of the Most High. A priest is a bridge builder. That's what the word pontificate means. A priest, a bridge builder. Bridging earth's need with heaven's resource. Making a way for that to happen. We are kings and priests before our God. And so that as we worship, if you have to end up going to work, if you have to get out and go out, you need to, before you step out of your house or step out of your car, you need to engage and just worship the living God, just like we've been doing here today, thanking God for who He is and what He does, worshiping God so that the fragrance of that worship will emanate from your life, that wherever you walk to, you're not afraid of any virus penetrating the presence of God, the fragrance of God around you, but because of your prayer and your worship, everywhere you go, people are infected with the cure, as it were, that where you go, there was a guy, his name was John Lake, and he was in South Africa, and I don't know if it was bubonic plague or whatever, but there was a plague, and people were dying, and they had medical team scientists from everywhere coming, but, you know, when people would die, this weird foam would come out of their mouth, highly contagious. And they warned him because he was going to go into these camps. And he says, no, you don't understand. If you touch that stuff, you'll get infected and you will die. And he says, here, take some of this goop, puts it on his hand, sticks it under their microscope and say, tell me what you see. And they're just all going, and they look and see, and that disease is dying on his hands. Now, I'm not saying I have that kind of faith yet. But I want you to know that's where I am moving to. We need to be growing in faith. Wherever, whatever level of faith we are, that's fine. But we need to be growing in faith. And you got to believe that the incense of worship is just not something that comes out of your mouth. It is, but then there's a presence. You know, Paul said we are the fragrance of life and the fragrance of death. To those who are receiving and open to Jesus, we smell like life. For those who shaking their fist at God, we smell like death to them. Their death, not ours. Worship. Be a worshiper. Worship. Engage in worship. And let that incense become the dividing line between the living and the dead. That where you go, it puts a stop to this curse. Amen?
Yes.
Everybody with me? Okay. We're going to pray. Yep. First of all, I want you to pray this aloud and together with me, summing up what we've just done. Say this with me. I am a priest.
I am a priest.
Who is filled with.
And emanates.
God's presence. As I worship you, Lord. I'm stirring up the gifts. That you've given me. And I will go forth in your name and see people healed and set free. In the name of Jesus. Now, something along those lines, you just continue to thank and praise God for right now and welcome Him to do that in and through you. Father, I thank you that this is not for a select few. This is for whosoever will. And Lord, as we call upon your name, as we worship you, Lord, I thank you that you're the God who lives in us and works out through us. So Lord, as we worship, let the incense of our prayer, our intercession, and our worship saturate even our very clothing. Just like Paul took aprons from his body and they were laid on people and evil spirits were driven out and people were healed. Lord, where we go, that same kind of thing happens. We are your people called by your name and we go in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We worship you, Lord. Oh, there's no one like you, Lord. You are alone. You alone are God. You are great. You are miraculous. You're our God and Father. Hallelujah. You work in us and through us. Yes. Thank you, Lord. We're so grateful and thankful. Lord, we love you. Thank you that you're the healer. Thank you, Lord, that you're the Savior.
Yes, the light of my soul. Oh, my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul, I worship your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawn. beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder and show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me into love to those around me. Holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder and show
Not only as people who worship, who pray, do we carry that incense into the heart of the battle and see the plague stopped. There are practical things that we can do too. Show me, Lord, who I should be reaching out to. Send them a little text, quick phone call. Hey, you doing all right? Do you need anything? I'm going to the store. Do you need something? Oh, you're out of toilet paper. I got plenty. I'll bring some over. Share with what you got. Listen, you can't just... If you've stocked up on stuff, God bless you. That's fine. But understand, God has given you abundance, not just for you, but to share with those around you who may be in need, okay? And so if they need something, give it and give it freely, not grudgingly or of necessity, and watch what God does in all of your life. Amen. Well, I trust you have found this hour to be profitable and helpful. It wouldn't be church if we didn't take an offering. And we're not really. But I will ask Ben on the little white desk back there, if you'll set a bucket, if people want to give. Now, listen to me. You know, somebody I was talking to earlier this week, and, oh, you know, what are you going to do? They close church, you know, because then, you know, the church needs giving. And I said to this person, you know what? When I get up every Sunday and I lead the receiving of the offering, I don't do it just because a church needs funds to do what we do and support missions around the world. I do it because you need it. I believe that. It's not just the church's survival that depends upon your giving. Your survival depends on your giving. That's what the word says, okay? You want God's blessing in your life? Give. It'll be given to you. Shake it down. Press down, shaking together, running over. I mean, that's the promise of God. So, you know, if you didn't come prepared to give because it was, you said, you know, it's going to be a different service, that's okay. Don't worry about it. But I would be, it would be wrong for me not to provide the opportunity for you to be blessed as a result of your giving. So it'll be back there. It's just a gray bucket that we normally pass. It's on the table next to the hand sanitizer. So use it. God bless you. And I tell you what. There are some service programs back on that same table. If you didn't get the email and you want to be on the email list to know what's going to happen next Sunday, go ahead and take one of those, tear it off, fill it out, and put it in the offering bucket also, all right? And if you don't do email and you want, can you tell me, you know, just text me at this number what is going to be happening next week. You can do that too. All right, God bless you. Go forth as worshiper. Take the incense, the presence of God with you. And see, do you have a sheet or something that you... Okay, all right. Never mind. Okay, God bless you. Greet one another again with an air chest bump, staying 6 feet apart. And we will see you next time.